The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to our Tony Curry YouTube channel. Of course, wherever you're listening to any of our shows, you can hear live on the TKR app. That's Tony Curry Radio, TKR app through Android or Apple. You can hear it 5 days a week. This is Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. Of course, wherever you get your podcast. So we got the YouTube channel going on so you can watch us. You can see these two big, beautiful faces of ours. You can listen to them on podcast or you can listen to them live on the TKR app. So we're all over the place. He is Michael Coleman, CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. Michael, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Doing great. I was glad to be able to break away from my modeling career to come over here and do the show here today.
Yeah, me so, too. Yeah. you're looking good with the heavy start shirt. I like that. So a couple of weeks ago, you brought the attention 10 rules of a great conversationalist. And we only got through half through this list. So I want to finish up the other half. Number one, be genuinely interested in the person. And I'm going to mention these just to kind of rehash a little bit. Give me a one liner on each of these. Be genuinely interested in the person.
Yeah, just let it be about them.
Focus on the positives.
Yeah, something I throw to remind myself of, they'll tell you some things, and it's easy to poke holes in what somebody's saying. Just focus on the positives, and it helps build a relationship.
Number three, converse, not debate or argue. We talked a little bit on that one.
Yeah, just allow people to have that point of view that's different, and Don't be insistent on being right.
Top 10 rules of great conversationalists. Number four, respect. Don't impose, criticize, or judge. Easier said than done?
Yeah. Judging comes so easy. And lots of times we end up rejecting or judging something because it's on our face. I've got somebody I work with, and she says it all the time. I have to work on my face because she doesn't hide how she's really feeling. It can be tough.
And number five, put the person in his or her best light.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to, like I said, you don't want to be unauthentic, lack authenticity.
Recording in progress.
It's you don't want to lack that authenticity, but you have to. You can honestly find good things about people. Now, I will tell you, my sister, for one, is the master of something called the comp assault. So you can compliment people and be insulting them at the same time. Mm-hmm. So she would say something like to my wife, she was like, "Oh, I like your, you know," she comes back from getting her hair done. "Oh, it looks so much better." So in other words, you're complimenting, but as you're saying, it looked like crap. You don't want to do that. You want to really try to find something, even if they're talking something that's crazy. You can do something like, "Man, I really love your enthusiasm. I really appreciate, you know, how into this you are. You've really spent a lot of time thinking about it." There can be authentic compliments that you give to people, and it just, again, helps build a relationship, because whatever you're doing, being a conversationalist, you're trying to grow your brand, you're trying to grow your business, you're trying to grow your circle, whatever it is. And so you don't want to do anything that pushes somebody in the opposite way. So all of these about being a conversationalist are about bringing people together.
Yeah, my mom was the master of that, too. We used to call it the mother compliment or the backhanded compliment. Yeah. She would always say something, but there was always a button there somewhere. Top 10 rules of great conversationalists. We've gone 1 through 5, and now we're going to do number 6 here. And this is also very, very interesting. And I'll mention the second half of this before I mention the first. While building on commonalities, embrace differences. That's hard to do. That's, it's easy to find something we're all in common with. I've seen two guys at a blackjack table in Las Vegas absolutely beat the living bejeebers out of each other. And then 10 minutes later, they're out in the parking lot smoking a cigarette together. It's easy when you got something in common, but it's not real easy when you have some differences. Explain that one a little bit to me.
Yeah. I mean, I embrace differences, to me is about, understanding that people have different views to different problems based on their own experience. So they have they're bringing different perspectives. I personally like to surround myself. I mean, it's fun if you're just going to hang out and you want people to kind of see things the same way. But in a professional environment, I don't hire people who think just like I do. They really can't bring any more value. I can bring that value. I can fill that gap. So I want to value when somebody sees something from a little bit different perspective or based on their experience, they're bringing something that's opposite of me. So you can build on the commonalities, but you can also really value and appreciate how people's perspectives are different and the value that that brings to the conversation.
If you have to do business with someone that has some major differences in their thinking beliefs, if you will, how do you do that?
Yeah, I'd say for me, when I go into meetings with people and we have conversations and I'm like, I'm here to collaborate. I'm here to make it a win-win. I go into any situation and I'm like, look, I understand that, yes, I have a perspective. I'm trying to raise money or I'm trying to grow a program. I'm trying to grow the brand of Heart of Alabama Food Bank. But I understand they have their own brand and so are their own motivations. And so I try to come to them and say, look, how can we do a win-win? And I understand in a win-win, I'm not going to get, you know, I have to not just think about what's in my best interest, but what's in both of our best interests. So I may have to back away from everything that I want to get accomplished to make sure that that leaves room for them. But when I go into a situation right away, and if I'm talking to somebody and I can tell they're uncompromising, they're in it only for themselves, those are people that I can't trust. They're not in it for the greater good. And when somebody's not in it for the greater good, as soon as it gets hard for them in accomplishing what they want, then they're going to cut and run on you. But if you have somebody who is in it for the greater good, like, I just want a better Montgomery, I just want a better community, and here's a puzzle piece to this that we have that we're bringing to the table, I can work with somebody like that all day long because I'm like, as long as we're moving in a positive direction together, I can count on them to be in the game.
I think it's important, too. Michael Coleman, he's the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. They cover 35 counties here in the great state of Alabama, works with Feeding America. We also have another show called Bite by Bite, which you can hear right after this one here on the TKR network. You know, we always talk about, you don't talk about the three things, sex, religion, and politics. And it's almost impossible now to get in a conversation with anyone on the street and not have some aspect of one of those three, sometimes all three. I think life was a lot easier when we didn't do that and we kind of minded our P's and Q's. But if you're in a conversation from a business standpoint and it starts going down that road, talk about how you can build a tangent. In other words, get off the topic that perhaps is taking away from that commonality that you need to have with that business associate.
Right. So it all depends on, which really kind of goes into our next point, which is be true to yourself. Because, so here's the thing, I'll use religion since you and I are both people of faith, and this comes up a lot. You know, somebody can be a complete atheist or be of a different faith. I'm of a Christian faith. They could have a different religious perspective or experience and still could care about the community that I'm willing to partner with, you know, for the good of others. So if they start talking about something and enforcing something, like I said, I can listen to them. I can be agreeable. I don't want to be unnecessarily confrontational. But I also don't want to compromise what my own values are. So this gets into politics. You know, we're in a very conservative area in Montgomery, Alabama. But I have people, and this is a nonprofit world all over. You're always going to have people that support you, whether they are donors, whether they're volunteers, whether they're customers at a for-profit business. They're going to support you, and some of them are going to be your most avid Trump supporters, and some of them are going to be the biggest Trump critics. And I've had people in my office, and they've been trashing Trump, and I just listen to their perspectives, and I go, yeah, I see how you got there. And then there's people that love Trump, and I'm like, yeah, I see how you get there. So what I can be agreeable, I have my own position, but because I don't want to be political, and it's not that I'm afraid to talk about my core values. I'm not afraid of that at all. But lots of times people just want to share with you what they're passionate about. And so I just kind of try to absorb that energy And sometimes it's pro-Republican, and sometimes it's anti-Republican, pro-Democrat, anti-Democrat, whatever it is. And then I just kind of listen to it. And whether I agree with it or not is ultimately irrelevant, as long as they don't cross my core value system, which is number seven. I've got to be true to myself. I'm not going to endorse something. Well, for instance, if a donor came in here and he started espousing racial negative connotations and things that were like, well, all Hispanic people are this, or all Black people are this, or whatever. That's where it's like, no. I'm not gonna sit there and be quiet. I'm gonna be true to my value, even if it costs me this relationship. I'm gonna be true to myself. But on things that are not, which is your political view, people have political views. They're all over the place, and it's all lots of times based on so many things: how you grew up, how you're currently being influenced by public policy, who you're married to, and there's so many things that can influence your perception of political candidates. And so that doesn't violate my core values. But if you get into some other things like any unethical behavior, anything that's racist in its nature, then you have to stand up and you have to be willing to be heard.
And it's assuming that you are willing to do business with someone that has not racist views, but certainly different views than your own. I'll use politics as an example. I have found that if I get in a conversation with somebody, like almost immediately within 5 or 10 minutes of sitting down at a chance to break bread with somebody, and they're talking politics, sometimes I feel like they're feeling me out a little bit, which is fine. Yeah. Usually just keep my mouth shut because, first of all, even if I have their back and believe what they're saying, I just, that's not what we're here to talk about. I try to get off that subject. And the second thing is sometimes I think people just want to vent. A lot of people we're in a society on social media where everyone's just got to expound and talk about their opinion. And this is how I feel about everything. And I don't think half the people really care, if not more. And sometimes I'll just listen and I'll just go, I hear what you're saying, but I don't have to agree with that person. But sometimes I think people just like to vent. And then, you know, once they've kind of blown their whistle a little bit, then you can get down to business.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can't jump out too far ahead of this because, I mean, I don't make up my mind about somebody in five minutes of conversation. But if somebody comes at me and you're like, oh, this feels like we're fixing a step on criticism of a certain race or certain thing. Lots of times what I do is I come back and I go, you know, I have found that my experience, I have maybe seen what some of the stereotypes that you're speaking to. I've seen some of that myself. But here's what I found to be more true or more accurate reflection. And then when I speak that back to them, one of the things I gauge are they open to that, or are they so cemented in views that I think could be harmful or... Yep. And that's where it's like, no, their mind's made up. This is who they are. And those are typically not somebody that I'm going to want to, because when somebody has those views, and it's much less, I'm just to our audience who may be listening from anywhere in the United States or around the world, the South sometimes gets such a bad rap. I know there are people who come here to Montgomery and they think it's just like they see in the 60s. The truth of the matter is, Black and white get along so well together as a whole. We do have incidences that crop up every now and then, and you know the media feeds into that. But the truth of the matter is, we all have business relationships, Black, white. It's not like the Black community is separated from the white community and everybody does business within their own races, almost like a prison system. It's not like that at all. But you do have people, some lingering views from the past sometimes that you have to be willing to stand up and say, yeah, I get it, but that's not my view. And typically in the nonprofit space, you're not going to get that because you're going to be in a space where you want to help your community as a whole. And, you know, doing that, you're going to help white, Black, Hispanic, and anybody in need.
Haven't been a guy that lived up in Cincinnati, lived up in Boston a little bit, lived in Dallas and Charlotte. I could tell you right now, we get along just fine right now. And I know we just celebrated the 60th anniversary of the bombing at the 16th Street Baptist Church. And I love that. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was beautiful how they celebrated that. And of course, that brings up, you know, the past of what happened with Martin Luther King Jr. going to prison. And it's like, let me tell you what, I see more blacks walking with whites in this town than I've ever seen in any other city I've been to, even ones I've visited. And it's great. Holding hands, speaking with each other. Yeah. And every time I see it, it brings a smile to my face. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we had to face our fears here. We had to face it down back in the 50s and 60s. We had to deal with those things right in our face. We didn't particularly handle them well, but we had to deal with those things.
And for me, I grew up, you know, and you know, my grandparents, I've told this before, my grandparents grew up and had close relations with blacks. They genuinely thought, now this is in the early 20s, 1920s, 1930s, you know, they just genuinely thought whites were superior to blacks. It wasn't necessarily any animosity. But then during the Civil Rights Movement, my parents were going through that. And then the black population was like, hey, you know, fighting for civil rights and all those things. And so there was a lot of change and yeah. a lot of people resisted that change. So there was a lot more tension, but then my generation came along and then after subsequently each generation that goes by those, we don't want to forget the lessons. We don't, but nowhere else. I think going back to your point, you know, we still see when civil rights are talked about, we still see the water hoses turned on African-Americans who are trying to go to the same school, or trying to vote, or trying to eat in the same restaurants. And we are abhorred of what we see.
Yeah.
And so we have that constant reminder, and we can't even believe that our ancestors would be a part of it because it's so nonsensical today. You're right. We have to face it and continue to have to face it through historical perspective.
On this list, be genuinely interested in the person, focus on the positives, converse, not debate or argue, respect, don't impose, criticize or judge, put the person in his or her best light, embrace differences, be true to yourself. I love number 8 more than probably anything I can, because I have certainly been guilty of hogging a conversation. I've had people come just short of saying you talk too much. And I think it depends on the situation. I think it depends on your reading your room. But I've been around people that quite frankly, they ask me how my day is going and I'll begin the conversation and I can't get halfway through my sentence. And all of a sudden they're telling me everything about their life. Oh, I know this is exactly what I'm going. And I'm like, I haven't even gotten a chance to tell you exactly what I wanted to share with you. It drives me crazy. And this is coming from a radio guy, a guy who speaks for a living. It happens to me more than it happens to most people. Maybe I'm around people. And then you see the same individual around someone who perhaps doesn't feel like he's as equitable when it comes to power. And he doesn't speak as much. And so maybe that's kind of telling me something about our friendship. I'm not sure, but it's 50-50 on conversations. How do you keep it close to 50-50?
And let me tell you, I'm just like you. I mean, you sit me down, give me a topic, I'll just run off at the mouth. I will tell you, one of the things that's so funny how life teaches you lessons sometimes. So I had an employee one time and I got done and they were just non-talk, just a chatty patty. Just, you just couldn't shut them up anytime you got around them, to the point that I was almost wanting to avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're just looking for a simple little yes or no answer. And then you get this whole, you know, 10 minutes of standing there. And I thought to myself, it dawned on me, I wonder if I'm like that with other people. I'm wondering if I'm guilty of that very same thing. So when I go into meetings and stuff, what I really try to do, and this again kind of feeds into number 9 about asking purposeful questions. One of the things I like to do, especially when I'm meeting somebody for the first time, is I'm like, hey, everybody's got a story. I would love to hear your story. And then ask pointed questions because some people are very open. You know, you and I are very open about our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, yeah, we're screwed up all the time. We'll tell you all. We'll share with you all that kind of stuff. But some people are a little bit more closed off, so you have to kind of pull some information. But I just think as a whole, as long as you're showing interest in somebody's life authentically, and you're able to ask pointed questions that shows you're listening, that really says you're interested, the more you pull out, again, that's relationship building. And but you almost have to, you have to be very intentional about it, because if left to myself, I go in and I go, oh, well, I've got a great story. Let me tell you my story. And then it's, the lunch is over and they're like, well, I didn't get to know anything about you.
Have you ever had lunch with somebody where you realize they're done eating their lunch and you haven't even started yours? you're looking down, your food is cold, and you're like, I haven't even taken a bite of my hamburger yet, and that person's wiping their mouth.
I will tell you, the one of the times that turned me off the worst is I had a guy, this was years ago, a guy calls me, he's a well-known businessman here in Montgomery. I actually went to church with a guy. He says, Michael, I want to know more about what you're doing. Let me take you to lunch. I said, great. So I'm sitting there thinking, man, this is going to be one of those times where it's going to be 70 me, 30 him. So we got, I mean, I got 2 minutes into my conversation, and he, every time I would get a sentence out, he would take it back and he'd say, oh yeah, let me tell you about this. And at the end of the conversation, so we get done eating, it's time to go. He knows nothing more about what I do or about what he said he invited me there for, but I knew a lot about him and his hangups and his issues, which was fine. Mm-hmm. But he didn't leave there with any more information, which was the whole point of us getting together. And I just thought to myself, I wonder how many times I've been guilty of this thing. And people are leaving there going, man, this lunch was a total mess.
Probably not as often as you think. And again,
I bet there's been a few.
Again, we're reading our room here, and this could go for dates. It could go for, you know, people you meet on a bus, whatever. I find there's two things that are pretty easy to do. First of all, if in fact you are talking a lot, and maybe the person's an introvert, maybe they don't want to speak a whole lot, I will sometimes say, you know, enough about me. I'm sorry, I'm speaking too much. Let me ask you a question. And I don't think that's patronizing at all. I think that's very, very healthy to say, listen, I'm realizing that my mouth is moving like a duck's ass and I need to be quiet for a little bit. And the other thing is, and I've done this and it hurts feelings. Again, it depends on who you're speaking with. It could be an in-law or it could be someone on the street. But if you've got something to say, say, would you please just stop for a minute and listen? I got something I want to share with you and it's really important. Please just listen to what I got to say and I'll let you know when I'm finished. I've used that a couple of times and it works. And they will sit back and you can tell they're like a little chipmunk. They just want to run up and down the street. They're like a caged lion, but they will listen. And normally it works. So, you know, you may want to use, again, depending on who you're talking to.
You can tell when somebody is listening, or listening to you, not with the intent of learning, but they're like, every time you take a breath, they're almost like leaning forward and snapping like, can I speak now? Can I speak now? And so that just makes me anxious.
And there are situations too where I have sat at a business where I ate my entire lunch and they didn't touch their lunch, but I knew I was going to get the buy. I knew I was going to get the sell. And I was like, this person needs to talk, I'll listen to their crap for 45 minutes if it means he's going to stroke me a check as soon as he buys my lunch.
If you're going to err, you always want to err on the side of listening too much rather than talking too much.
Amen.
And you have to choose one or the other.
And this kind of goes along with all eight we've had so far. And you brought this up, ask purposeful questions, ask questions that have purpose.
That's what I was saying. 50-50 sharing leads right into that. And one of the things you can do is make sure you want to leave there. I want to know their family history, like where are they from, located. So there's very purposeful questions. If they're a business owner, how long you've been in business, what drew you to that? You don't want to ask many yes or no questions. You want to be very purposeful, open-ended questions that really can lead to a deeper understanding about what this person values. Because if it's somebody who I'm trying to get them to donate, I'm very respectful of people's money, time and money. And I recognize there's so many good works out there that people could donate to. So I'm trying to align what we do with where their heart and mind is. And so lots of times I'm only going to know that if I can pull that out of them and they say, yeah, I care about the poor, or I care about, I'm concerned about long-term generational welfare and people not being able to come out of that. And so you kind of can hone your message based more directly on what their concerns are. That sounds like a sales thing, and it is.
It is, yeah.
But it's really, again, if you could, you can do it in an authentic way. You can be a salesman, but do it in an authentic way to build an honest relationship.
Before we get into number 10, I want to ask you a question, because I know that you're a public speaker, and I know that you speak to a lot of people, and you do a wonderful job there at the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. What is your icebreaker? If you're sitting down with somebody and you've shaken hands and you're sitting down and you haven't gotten your food yet, you can't stick something in your mouth, so you have to say something. What's your icebreaker? Do you talk about a recent event?
Yeah, so I mean, I go back to what I said earlier. Lots of times when I sit down, you know, if I'm meeting, it's either you know the topic, or like I'll give you, I have a lunch next week with somebody in our community. She's a VP of a bank. She is going to be the next chairperson for the Montgomery Chamber of Commerce. Okay. And so I reached out to her and I'm like, hey, let me take you to lunch. And I'd love to hear what your vision is, what you're going, because every, you know, they rotate chairs every year. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a business person in the community, and you get to bring in kind of an agenda and things that are important to you. And I'm like, hey, I'd love to hear where you are and hear some of your ideas and thoughts. So again, I've already set it up. So we go in, and, you know, and when I sit down, I'm probably not going to leave with it. She knows that's why that we're going to have this meeting, but I'm going to probably lead off, go back to, you know, again, hey, you mind taking 5 or 10 minutes and just kind of giving me your story? Because that lets you know you're not just there for a business, because she could perceive that whatever her, whatever she's trying to get a comment, should know what she's, so I can align the Heart of Alabama with what her motivations are. In other words, to see what I could gain out of it. And that looks very self, can look very self-serving. So I don't want that. I don't want our whole lunch to be about that. I want it to be, hey, I want to tell me a little bit about yourself and kind of your background. How'd you end up VP of banking? And, you know, all that kind of stuff, because I am genuinely interested in people that I deal with.
And then give me your number 10. That'd be give and take.
Yeah. So, again, so many of these things, I can think back to personal stories on give and take, but it just talks about don't be too critical over what you hear. I remember one time I really regretted this. This guy called me up, said my brother's in town and he wants to run this idea by you. And so he was going to a job out in Texas, and it was in a work that I'm fairly critical of. And I chose to display that critical spirit and be overly honest there. And it really kind of made my friend a little uncomfortable, because he's trying to introduce his brother and his brother's excited about the work. And I found myself just kind of poking holes in it. And I left there feeling nobody benefited from that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't, you know, my friend wanted to introduce him. I should have done a lot of the things in this thing. I should have focused on the positives. I should have focused on the good things of that project. And I shouldn't have been critical, not only of the efforts of past people who have done these kind of things. It was in church work. It's very specific. But you also have, I can take this to mean, when you're talking about people, boy, I tell you what, you got to be careful when you reach out and say something about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have a really negative experience with somebody, but you may be talking to that person's best friend.
Yes.
You can bet if you,
it's happened
you throw
to me.
Their business out, yep.
that is the worst.
Yes.
Well, what do you think about that person first? let me hear how your thoughts are about that person.
Have you ever dealt with so-and-so?
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Yeah. I'll always go there. Hey, Michael, great show here. We love taking your emails. We did an entire show on emails last week, info@tonycurryradio.net. We got a lot of emails about the strike, but we're out of time. We'll get into that. And I'm sure the strike's still going to be going on the next time we do a Mission Mind. Keep your mind, your mission, mission, your mind. You can find this show all over the place, wherever you get your podcast, on every major industry out there, on the TKR app, which we'd love for you to listen to, because it's run live 5 days a week. And then, of course, right here on our YouTube channel, the Tony Curry Radio YouTube channel, where you can actually watch the show. Thank you so much.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.